Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 23rd of December, recording at 9:44 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, even though this is Thursday, it is the last audio for this week, and therefore I will also use it as the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. Now, as you might expect on a pre-Christmas week, that many of the stock markets have been quite quiet. Many of the markets generally have been quite quiet, but equities have been generally steady, mostly ranging, but some ranging with a little more strength than others. And those include the U.S. stock market and pretty much all indices. And what has been notable this month, in addition to the relative performance that we've seen for the major indices, is that an important subsector such as the banks have been doing much better in the last month. Also, a number of European indices, which have been pretty steady all along, have extended gains, not only this week, but also pretty much all month. And those include Germany and Finland and Denmark and Sweden and Norway and Austria. This group has had a little bit of a catch-up play here relative to the earlier gains that we had seen in those Asian stock markets. Now, among government bonds, it's been a very quiet week, a little bit of a pause in the big slide to the downside that we had seen for futures prices for long-dated government bonds. In other words, the yields have paused after a sharp rise. In currencies, the dollar has been a bit steady, but albeit within ranges, but the commodity currencies have been stronger still. Now, most commodities have been quite firm, and that includes the grain and bean complex, which has pushed forward to in additional gains, and we have seen I think particular strength in the agricultural commodities, although cotton, which had been one of the leaders, fell back from its high of a couple of months ago over the last few days, and one would really expect that on a retest of an important high. And sugar has been one of the strongest overall. Among industrial commodities, we've had steady action generally by copper and many metals, many other metals. The precious metals have been generally firm, albeit within ranges. So they have seen a little bit of profit taking in here today, including mainly in gold and platinum, but gold is only down $4, and it's at $13.80.50 as I speak. And platinum has just given up some of this week's earlier gains. It's currently $11.24.50. And crude oil, that's been an important story here this week. It has been quite firm and pushed to new highs for the year. We have WTI crude, that's the U.S. contract, of course, currently at $91.55. That's up over a dollar. And the Brent price is at least a dollar, probably closer to $2, higher than that. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, it's been a pretty good year for most of them. And the markets that have really underperformed here this year have had special problems, not least the so-called pigs sector within Europe. But we've seen solid gains for most of the Asian indices, including a late run by Japan, a late catch-up run by Japan, pushing the index for the Nikkei up 9.63% as of today's small decline. I've mentioned Wall Street's relative strength on a pretty much a daily basis in the last few weeks, and the S&P index currently up 12.7%, and the NASDAQ up 17.47%. Fuller money themes have done well generally, I'm pleased to say. The importance of the improved relative strength that we've seen in Wall Street cannot be overstated because of the leash effect. Again, I've mentioned this on a daily basis, so I don't need to go into too much detail on that, but it bodes well, suffice it to say, for at least the first quarter of coming year, 2011, and quite possibly well beyond. The Wall Street leash effect can be a powerful influence, and as Wall Street has so often been the focal point of investor concerns, this steadier action really will lead to a broader reappraisal already. Is leading to a broader reappraisal, and it does tend to lower. It can only lower expectations of risk generally, even though the U.S. Has many problems, such as its growing debt and its high unemployment figure, the very weak housing sector. But we do know that the multinational corporate sector from the USA is doing quite well and benefiting from strong global growth and healthy balance sheets. And we also know that the US economy has improved quietly but steadily, and it looks less and less likely to be a replay of Japan in the 1990s and 2000 decade. So, 2000 to 2010 decade. So that's encouraging overall. We also continue to have a favorable accommodative monetary environment, even though long-dated rates have pushed up somewhat, and countries with strong economies have also been raising short-term interest rates, but nevertheless, interest rates in most countries remain negative. In other words, they're below the real rate of inflation. And that's generally a supportive environment for equities overall. We've also had some switching of money from bonds where investors in many countries, not least the United States, were quite overweight. And we've seen some of that, a little bit of that money flow back towards equities. And I think that will be a theme throughout 2011 as well. We do not have a currency crisis at the moment, but there are plenty of justifiable concerns about how the Eurozone is going to come out of this crisis of sovereign debt. Nothing has been resolved. The problems have been contained for the time being, but they will continue to be a source of concern throughout next year and quite probably beyond. Now, I think that an important point to emphasize is that, in my opinion, those are not the greatest risks that the global economy faces in the near term. And indeed, many investors in listening to this audio who live in Asia or in Central or South America or even North America will say, what does what do the Southern European and Ireland debt problems have to do with us? Well, the answer is very little. Although, if the Euro region as a whole is in trouble, that can become a headwind for other stock markets as well, obviously. But the risk that I think is going to be more significant in 2011 is commodity price inflation. Now, the Continuous Commodity Index, also known as the old CRB, I've posted that again today. It's unweighted and it has the most constituents, so I feel it's the most representative commodity index of all to see what's really going on. And that's pushed to a new all-time high in the last couple of days. Now, that's in nominal terms, but the new high means, in nominal terms, means that it's exceeded that 2008 and 8 peak. The various performances of constituents are clearly quite different. We don't have a runaway oil price this time as we did back in 2008. But there's a possibility that we'll see a consider I think a probability actually that we'll see a considerably stronger oil price in 2011. And there are reports that the US surplus reserves are in decline. Certainly, a firmer US economy, along with a gradually firming global economy generally, will add to demand, and this may well test the supply capacity. And one of the reasons why oil has not joined the stronger advance, or had not joined it earlier on, I think, is the advent of shale gas and also the big alternative energy push that's led to less speculative activity in crude oil production. But the bottom line is that demand is high and rising, and non-OPEC producers are struggling to keep up. As a matter of fact, production is probably actually declining somewhat from those non-OPEC producers. And whether or not OPEC will be willing or able to take up the slack in here really does remain to be seen. So again, this week we've had new highs for the year in crude oil prices, and I regard this as a breakout from these trading ranges that have contained prices for so long. I think I mentioned that the WTI crude, I know I did, but just to repeat that price, $91.53. And I would give the upside the benefit of the doubt and say that it would take a pullback below $80 to significantly delay the higher prices that I expect to see, not only in the first quarter of next year, but beyond. So, while this is still a good environment for global stock markets overall, I think the specter of commodity price inflation, the reality of commodity price inflation, it will create a steadily increasing headwind that's probably going to hit bonds, or should hit bonds, harder than equities. But the better equities do in the interim, the more susceptible they will be to that overall pressure. So, while I'm optimistic about what happens with stock markets in 2011, I think we should expect at least one major correction to occur, and I think that will be triggered by commodity price inflation. And if it's not that, then it'll be some other wild card factor that I can't predict it at this stage. But the commodities really are staring us in the face in terms of those overall upward trends. Now, crude's the big one, and it has broken out of that trading range. The other most important ones would be the staple grain and bean prices, and they are also near their highs, and the chart patterns indicate that they can move higher. The crop damage has been significant. It will take phenomenally good crop yields, which would mean very benign weather conditions in 2011, to alleviate the upward pressure towards the second half of next year. But good weather for crops that haven't even been sown yet is not going to provide any assistance here in the near term. And that is what I am concerned about. And if we were to have a repeat in 2011 of the 2010 weather conditions with similar effects on crop yields, that would be a serious problem. Let's hope that doesn't happen. I'd love to see bumper crop yields. In the meantime, the pressure is upwards in commodity markets. I've described this as a opportunity at present for those who are invested in this area or have speculative positions in the futures markets, but it will become a problem for other asset classes, I think, later on as 2011 unfolds. In terms of currency markets, I would assume a generally soft euro and a generally steady US dollar and quite firm resources currencies. And I think the Asian currencies will also be quite firm generally. We've seen that in the last few days for the Japanese yen as well, and I've talked in some of my earlier broadcasts about this struggle here in terms of the dollar yen bulls and bears. And the yen has won the last couple of days, and we've got the a dollar back down to 82, 90.92 yen, and it really needs to push up higher. I think this will quickly start to rein in Japan's stock market rally if it were to continue. I don't think it will continue. I think the Bank of Japan will come back and take more measures to weaken its currency, and I think they'll be more aggressive in attempting to weaken the yen than the US will be in terms of trying to weaken the US dollar. Japan certainly needs to do that, but of course the charts will show us overall. Now, I think that pretty much covers all the major points, although I haven't said enough about the long-dated government bonds. So let me just conclude with those. And I feel that long-dated government bond yields have definitely bottomed, and that we are seeing the bottoming out and base building phase for these long-dated government bonds. This marks the end of what has been a 30-year bull market for government bonds, and I feel the yields will be rising in 2011. And there's a risk that some of these yields will really rally quite sharply. Now, we saw how sharply yields rose in the southern European countries and Ireland over the sovereign debt problems. And we could also get a swift rise in US yields on commodity inflation, on the improving. Slowly improving US economy generally, and also on some sovereign debt concerns there. So I think that this will be an opportunity for investors who are inclined to short these long-dated government bonds. In the short term, the rise is somewhat overextended, and it has paused, but I don't think we'll see a significant pullback in bond yields, and we may not get any pullback, really. There is that real possibility that this is a type 2 ending to their previous downtrend, and that's chart seminar terminology, but I've described it or defined it before. It just means that the yield keeps pushing up and goes up to higher levels than even the bond bearers, such as myself, had expected initially. If you want a parallel, think of what happened with global stock market indices after their reaction lows in March 2009. So that will be an opportunity. It will not be a headwind for equities, just the opposite initially, unless the move is very rapid and then starts to worry investors. But at some point, of course, rising yields begin to compete with the attractions of equities. But I think that's considerably further down the road. And again, that's something that the charts will reveal, and we'll be able to plot that every step of the journey. Okay, I've already mentioned that this is my last audio for the week. That also applies to comment of the day, because we won't be writing tomorrow. And next Monday and Tuesday are also holidays in the UK. So the next updates will be next Wednesday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. Happy Christmas, and happy whatever other holidays you may be celebrating.